3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. I'm Chris Mosby.
And I'm Caleb Gerard.
You're probably wondering, what is this podcast about? Well, basically, you know, Caleb and I, we love comic books. We've been reading them for decades between the two of us. And with the digital age starting, we wanted to share, you know, that the love that we have for comic books with everybody else. So let kind of give you a description of what we're looking at here. Do you currently read comic books and are looking for something different to read?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about reading comic books and have no idea where to start?
No. Oh, sorry. No, this is for real. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's right. Did you used to read comics but stop for some reason? Do you want to get your kids reading something and need some ideas? Have you seen the latest superhero movie and are begging for more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then this is the podcast for you. Comic books are more accessible than they have ever been before. The digital age of comics has begun, so let us be your guide to one of the greatest forms of entertainment ever devised and find out what you have been missing. So, we'll start off talking a little bit about myself. And Caleb can give him an intro. I live in kind of the South. If you listen to the Legion of Superheroes podcast, this is kind of – they inspired us to do this. I'm not too far away from Darren or Rainbow Cloak from the forums. I live in Tupelo, Mississippi, work for a large regional bank in IT. Caleb, give a little bit about yourself.
Well, let me see. I live in just outside of Phoenix, Arizona, with my wife and two daughters. I also work in IT, not in the technical side, but I work for a large investment company based out of Phoenix. And like you said, reading comics for decades. I've been reading since I was 9 years old. So we're talking over 30 years that I've been reading comics now. Holy crap. Yeah. yeah, I've been married. I mean, real quick, been married for 20-some-odd years. What else? A transplant from L.A. So if I get snobbish or anything like that, it's only because, you know from L.A.
So. All right. Well, yeah, along the same lines, I've been married for, let's see, going on 12 years now. Lived in Missouri for a while, lived up in Washington State. That's where I met my wife. Actually met my wife on America Online. We've been together ever since. Now we moved down here to take this job down here. I have been reading comic books literally before I could read. My dad would take me down to what was called a newsstand, which is kind of, if you're old enough, you actually know what that is. But basically, it was a place where you'd walk in, and probably the predecessor to the modern bookstore, I would think. You have magazines and newspapers from all over, and, well, of course, there was a spinner rack there, and I was, even before kindergarten, I was able to, this is, you know, firsthand from my mom and dad, they would take me down there and I'd pick out what I wanted, and I'd look at the pictures and figure out what's going on, and eventually learned how to read. And by the time I was in kindergarten, I actually learned how to read from that. So I've had a comic book in my hand for as long as I can remember. Like I said, before kindergarten, so that's been, you know, I'm 40 now, so you kind of do the math on that. It's been quite a while. And
actually, my wife's first job was in a newsstand.
Really?
In the town we grew up in, yeah, they had a little the Claremont newsstand, and she worked there for a few minutes. so yes, I know what a newsstand is.
Yeah, some of the younger listeners might not have heard that, but yeah, that's kind of pretty much how I learned how to read, and I've been reading ever since through that. And
yeah, I used to go to my mom with all the big words in the comics.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say I started when I was 9, that was like really when I went, hey, mm-hmm. I should be reading. You know, comics are awesome. But obviously, mm-hmm. before that, there was the Richie Riches and the Caspers and
absolutely
the Peanut stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, always went to mom and said, hey, what is this word? So
yeah, exactly.
While I wasn't quite as young as you, it sounds like, I certainly used it as a learning tool.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It did, you know, teaching about dialogue, teaching about structure. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Yeah. Awesome stuff.
Yep, definitely. I think that kind of stuff, with electronic, being in the tech industry, it might sound, interesting coming from me, but I think the lack of, actual physical picking up of paper reading is, that might have a lot to do with the way things are these days, the way people handle things. Like I said, I did meet my wife online, but, we still email a lot there for at first, and it was the phone calls and interaction like that led up to us getting married and everything. But I'd have to say a lot of who I am, and besides, how I was raised, comes from comic books and superhero comic books in general, specifically, I should say.
Do you ever cosplay? Do you ever dress up, Chris?
No, I never used to do that. Though I did have, when I was younger, have a lot of mock fights with supervillains, which were usually the pillows in our house for my bed. I usually wrestle around on the bed and, have mock fights and, of course, get trapped in super traps, whatever. And that's a lot of imagination when I was younger. Came from that.
And when I was a kid, Super Friends was huge.
Oh, yeah.
And we would play that on the playground, and somehow I always ended up being Aquaman, and it just was really odd. Like, Aquaman in the middle of a big soccer field.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Sad. Sad, but true.
My dad would always tell a story about that, the cartoons in the morning. My dad would work a real late night shift or, graveyard or whatever, and he'd be up really late. It'd be Sunday or Saturday morning, and I'd come in there, and I'd just stand, was just tall enough that only my eyes would see over the bed, and he'd wake up. You get that feeling that you're being watched. It'd be me staring there. I wouldn't wake him up, but I'd just stand there and stare at him, and, as soon as I saw his eyes open, daddy, cartoons, and we'd go into, I couldn't turn the TV on yet, so that's, main reason. I do that, and that was usually what we watched was Super Friends. We'd lay there on the couch and watch him, and if I see him start going to sleep, I'd grab his sideburn and say, "Daddy, you're missing cartoons," wake him up. So, yeah, I've heard that story plenty of times, and my dad loves telling the people, anybody that'll listen. So, we definitely have a long, tradition with me as far as superhero comics go. So that's how I grew up. So
yeah, no, I would imagine if you ask most of the people of our generation who read comics or did read comics at one point, obviously the gateway was Super Friends for a lot of them. I mean, that's actually surprisingly it wasn't for me, but I mean I actually gatewayed. I went into those cartoons and stuff mostly because of the comic books. I kind of went the other direction, but yeah, I think that the reverse is more likely. I mean, you said, listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I mean, all those guys, one time or another, hardcore into Super Friends or Battle of the Super Friends or whatever.
Right.
I could say the same for the CGS guys.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And it's. And I mean, I wish I had that kind of bonding story though to tell. But mine was that's very cool.
Yeah. I was pretty lucky. I had a pretty good childhood, and I had a lot of stories like that. And until I was in my teens, they always encouraged to read the comics, and they'd always take me, and I'd pick out two or three every week. And by the time I was in grade school, I probably had 300-400 comic books, I would say. So like I said, I've always had one on or around, and I have several thousand of them now. Probably a lot more if I kept. I've sold, given away some over the years. When I moved from Missouri up to Washington, and traded some for store credit when I lived up in Washington, because I got off of Marvel at one point, and I just kind of you know, traded those in for store credit, which I kind of wish I had some of those X-Men. Now I kind of miss X-Men, but you know, that's something you can talk about later on.
What was the comic? I mean, I can pinpoint the comic that was like the one where, oh yeah, this is something I want to read more of.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I mean, I don't remember what my first comic book was, obviously, because like I said, I was, you know, before kindergarten. But the one that really got, because I mean, I had been collecting Legion sporadically up until, and I remember it vividly, because one of the things you'd always do is you go with the folks when they go to the grocery store. And I remember, you know, looking at the comics while I was waiting there, and if the one that I really liked, I'd buy it with, you know, with money for helping my grandma or whatever. The very one that got me hooked, that where I was actually collecting them seriously, was the last issue of the Great Darkness Saga, Legion of Superheroes. I believe that was 294. With that picture of Darkseid's face on it, with everybody, you know, worshiping Darkseid, and I could put a picture of that in the show notes. I believe I have a scanned cover of that.
All right, now are you going to put the one from the book? Are you going to put the one from the hardcover?
I'll actually do the one from the actual. I got a couple of copies of that. I think I've already got it scanned, but yeah, that because I knew who Superboy was, and that was one of the reasons I got in the Legion was Superboy. I could identify with him, but I had never heard of Darkseid before. But you know, I got it that very last issue of it when everything came to bear. That was the one that really did it for me, and I've been hooked ever since. And then I went back and got all the rest of them up to – I pretty much have every single Legion issue from Legion of – or when it was Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes all the way up to present. And like I said, I've been collecting them ever since.
That's impressive.
Yeah, the one that did after that would be that Teen Titans X-Men crossover that Marvel and DC did. I ended up getting into X-Men and new Teen Titans, you know, right after that. And those are my three, you know, main ones for quite a while. So,
good choices, especially at that time.
I mean, yeah,
they were all telling awesome stories at that point.
Great, great stuff. Yeah, I ended up went back and had a lot of the X-Men. I never did really go back issue wise, but from I can remember the cover. It was the picture of Wolverine standing over Kitty Pryde. And it looked like, I don't remember the issue number, but she kind of like she got her throat cut, and it ended up, you read the comic, and it was like a Danger Room thing. They were training. But yeah, I remember that, and it was right after Tara joined the team, before they found out that she was, you know, well, whatever, I won't spoil that for people who haven't read the Jericho
contract. Oh, 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. Well, remember, we're new readers is who we're talking to here. So
good point. And that's actually a good point. I mean, when you're talking about getting new readers in, you want to say, okay, you know, they have these expectations that that comic books are going to be for kids. And granted, you know, again, talking with most of us who read them now, we did get into them when they're kids. But that kind of story, like the Judas Contract, which was the Titan story that Chris was just talking about, for those who are listening. The whole idea that is the kids' sidekicks from, you know, there was Robin, Wonder Girl, Kid Flash, and some other newer characters that had been introduced recently in the comic were growing up, becoming, you know, young adults. And in this story they dealt with some serious life issues about, you know, friendship and betrayal and death, things that while they probably had been dealt with on some level in comics, they really, you know, they hit home in a superhero comic, of all things. It won tons of awards at the time. It's still, whenever they do top 10 lists or top 100 lists of stories that people love, always in the top 5, if not the top 10.
Absolutely.
It's a shame if it doesn't reach the top 5 on those lists, but it's one of those stories where you can point to and say, you know what, yeah, it's Robin the Boy Wonder, but it's not. It's, you know, it's mm-hmm. Robin being a team leader.
Yep.
The team that was in that book is the one that, you know, again, for the listeners out there, if you get a chance to see the Teen Titans cartoon that was on mm-hmm. Cartoon Network over the last couple of years, those are the characters. It's Cyborg, Raven, Starfire, Robin, and Changeling, mm-hmm. And a couple others.
Yep.
So a great example of, you know, breaking out of the expectations that some mm-hmm. Some readers might, or some potential readers,
yeah,
might be thinking is a reason not to read comics.
Yeah, that had to been that had a really profound effect on me. I was always a Robin fan and became a big Dick Grayson fan, which you know, that was the first Robin. You know, as we'll get into later on, there's been several, for those people that never read any Batman and Robin, there's been a couple of Batman and Robins since then. In fact, that's when Dick Grayson actually gave up, around that time, gave up the Robin identity and became Nightwing, which is going to be back again here during the new DC Universe is coming up, which that's something we plan on talking about probably next episode, going through the big initiative that DC Comics is going to be doing here at the end of August and the beginning of September.
Yeah, for better or worse, it's going to be...
yeah, it's going to be something. I'm really looking forward to it, and that's one of the things that kind of made me, made us want to do this podcast for new readers. It's a big opportunity to get in on the ground floor of a lot of great stories.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, potentially great stories, right?
Yeah, that part remains to be seen.
But the creators they have, and again, for people who are reading about, you know, what DC is doing, if they're checking it out on like USA Today mm-hmm. or New York Times or any of the other online sites,
right.
Can't really judge the stories at this point, but a lot of the people working on the books are pretty darn amazing. I mean, yeah. the art's going to jump off the page. Some of the writers, their love of comics and the characters is going to translate, you know, potentially into some of the best, you know, superhero stories that we're going to see, you know, this year, if not for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and on that note, I've been listening to the podcast, the DC Comics podcast, that the recent San Diego Comic-Con, which you might have heard about in the news, they recorded pretty much all of their panels during that time, and they had a new, quote-unquote, new DCU podcast, and they tried to gauge the people's reaction to it and talk about it. And the more I listen to it, you listen to these creators talk about what is going to happen, they're so passionate about it that it just, you know, to be honest, when I first heard about it, I was pissed off.
Oh, man.
I mean, let's be frank. It really aggravated me because I felt like everything is going fine, at least the stuff that I was reading anyway. And the more I've heard about it, and you know, I was on board ahead of time. I'm, you know, planning on getting all the new stuff, but listening to these podcasts, they're really, really doing everything they can to make this work out. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, but when I first heard about it, I was on the fence. I mean, like you, there was a lot of books, not a lot. I mean, there were some books and some stories that I had been reading that I was really excited mm-hmm. about the potential for the next couple of years on them, and then to have kind of the rug pulled out from underneath.
Right.
But on the flip side, there's some characters that I couldn't have given, you know, two rats about.
Right.
That all of a sudden I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to get a chance to actually care. And then a third option is there were stories that I was picking up that I thought, you know what? I'm actually not enjoying this. I don't need to read it because they're going to give me an opportunity to try something new in a couple months here,
mm-hmm.
which has now turned into a month. Wow.
Yeah. I actually have on my main page of the blog now podcast, I have a countdown timer.
What's your website?
Yeah, it's Tales from the Longbox.com. That's I've been running that blog for a while now, and it's kind of, you know, got a little bit of writer's block, which is kind of the reasons why we're doing this. I'm trying to do this podcast now. you know, get my ideas and our ideas now out there. And right now we're sitting at 29 days and counting till the new universe. So that it begins on August 31st. It's just right around the corner. So
it is. God, it's just. I mean, and they just, again, for new listeners, they just announced what that DC is basically just, you know, knocking all of their main titles. They're not touching a lot of their they're called the Vertigo titles or the Kid titles, but all their main books are either going away or being restarted at number one. And that announcement came, it can't be even 2 months ago at this point. And,
no, it hasn't been very long.
And now it's starting up at the end of this month, and it's August 1st. Wait, you said it starts on August 30th? I thought, okay,
it's 31st? It's the 31st, yeah.
Okay, so we're tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
Almost there.
Actually, I think that countdown might be a little bit off now that I look about it. It should be a little bit more than that. I'll have to adjust it.
I was thinking, wait a minute, he's not on East Coast time.
Yeah, it should be more than 29 days. I'll have to look at that. But anyway, yeah, I have that
it'll
up
be
there.
It'll be very exciting. And hopefully they... Yep. Hopefully they don't forget to promote some of the B and C list books. That's my biggest fear. Is there's some real potential for some stuff there? Again, I want to save a lot of this for next time. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Kind of along that line, I have read that they have a 6-figure budget for advertising. So you're going to be seeing TV ads, maybe in magazines, all that kind of stuff. So that's coming around the corner.
Good. I will be keeping an eye out for that. I don't watch a lot of TV, but it certainly will be. Hopefully, they can latch onto some of those football games that are coming up.
That would be great.
The preseason games, because it's going to be on It's going to be on ESPN and ABC and such. So they actually they have an in. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm all amped. Okay. We'll talk to you in 30. No. God.
So, but yeah, let's see. Let me talk about a little bit about the digital comics. Basically, the main digital comics has kind of been slowly coming for a while. There's several different companies that do it, but the biggest one right now is Comixology. They're the ones that kind of pioneered everything. They got deals with DC Comics and Marvel and, you know, pretty much all the other publishers. Kind of the thing, you know, we talk about is the price point is a little bit higher than probably it should be. In most cases, the comics are, you know, the same price as when you get them on the newsstand, and that's one of the things that DC is going to start doing. Is doing a day and date, which basically the comic book comes out at the comic shop exactly the same day it'll become available online.
And for those not in the know, that's Wednesdays.
Yes.
At this point.
Yes.
Every Wednesday, except for unless there's a holiday at the beginning of the week, which might push it to Thursday because of UPS being closed. But
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Every Wednesday is comic day, so. That's when the stuff comes out, and I'll try to put stuff on the website that kind of shows what's coming out and things like that. Speaking about Comixology, one of the reasons I brought that up, they kind of had it was back on the 22nd of this month, they had a little post on their blog about what they call the Great Free Comics for New Readers Experiment. And considering what we want to do with this podcast, saw that as a perfect thing to talk about. We've got a list of comics here, and I'll post a link to that on the show notes. Of a bunch of different comics that, and I believe it was Greg Pak, which he's a writer from Marvel. He came up with a list of different ones that you can get on that for free. Now, you can get this Comixology app for your Android device, your iPad, or your iPhone. Just do a search for comics with an X, Comixology. And you can download that, and there's a section for free comics, and you can look through there and kind of get an idea of what you want. But basically, this free comic experiment, you get a list of comics, recommends you go read them, and then come back to a link and give your thoughts. And what we'd like to do is we can do the same thing. We can post this list. You can look through the list. We'll talk about a little bit about each one. You can read through them. Give us your thoughts through email or post on the comments on the post for this on the blog. And you can the email is podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com. I'll put a link in there in the show notes for that too. And that'll be forwarded on to us, and we can you know, reply from there and talk about it on the podcast next episode. So I'm kind
of
rambling.
We expect 100 emails just off this episode alone, okay? So don't let us down.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we get one, I think we'll be really happy.
Well, you know, at least the Legion podcast guys will, you know, if we guilt trip them into it, I'm sure they'll, you know, make a comment. But, yeah. Now, I personally haven't read this list that we're looking at here. I've only read a few of them myself, so I'm going to make an effort to read through all of these and get my thoughts on them. We can probably talk about them next episode.
Well, I will tell you, there are two books on here that, for the parents out there, if they're looking for something to read with their kids.
Yes.
I don't care about the age, you know, probably no older than 12. But Bone number 1 and Mouse Guard number 1, both incredibly appropriate for kids. Bone is essentially Lord of the Rings meets Casper, that's a bad example. Good Lord, I lost my train of thought there. It's just it's kind of a Lord of the Rings-y type of story, but the hero of the story is this little guy, Frodo-like, who's out to save his world, and he, you know, his friends going with him, helping him on his journey. There's not like an ultimate goal in it, but there is. I mean, but it's many issues in. But it's a great introduction to the story. And then Mouse Guard. I haven't read that in a long time, but I know. But again, I would say incredibly appropriate.
Yeah, I've actually got a couple of free Comic Day copies of that, and that actually looks. I've been meaning to get into that because that really looks good. I've heard a lot about the Mouse Guard. Yeah. In fact, let's see. I'm reading the description here. That doesn't really give much more than what we've already said. So, I'm not sure about. Let's kind of go through them here real quick, though. We've already talked about. Let's see. There's one called Action Philosophers, and it's looking at Ayn Rand. That's definitely an adult.
That's topical right now, too.
Yes, it is.
But I'll tell you, if it's Greg Pak and Fred Valente, it's probably pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, they, for the Canadians out there, they also do Alpha Flight.
Yeah, that's right.
Superhero comic from Marvel, but
yeah. The plot summary for that one, it says writer Fred Valente and artist Ryan Dunleavy, I think is how you pronounce that, read and explain and make fun of philosophy so you don't have to. They're hilarious, best-selling action philosophers. I can't talk tonight. I'm not drinking either, so. But anyway, Action Philosophers comic book series has won American Library Association and Zurich Awards and is used in classrooms across the globe to introduce the world of history's greatest thinkers in a hip and humorous fashion. But don't take our word for it. Read this free sample and see for yourself. Starring a controversial founder of objectivism. That does sound interesting. I actually read about that person recently, so that I'll have to check that out for sure.
Now they keep invoking her in political conversations lately.
Yeah, so, I've noticed that.
It'd be a good opportunity, and I know that having read some stuff with by either Pak or Valente, they tend to lean the other direction. So
yeah, right.
Go in that if you're political minded, go in knowing that. That this particular one is probably going to be a little – it's going to be left-leaning, but
right.
Well worth the experience.
Okay, let's see. Here's
now,
one.
You said you've read this next one, right?
I think I read this particular issue, as a matter of fact. From just from what I remember, if you like Hellboy-type stuff, if you've seen a Hellboy movie, this is kind of along the same line, which, by the way – Hellboy was a comic book way before it was a movie. That's another episode. We can go into that later. But basically, the plot summary of that. The action science adventures of Nikola Tesla, which is basically a robot. Nikola Tesla's automated intelligence machine began in 1938. Atomic Robo is secretly hired by the U.S. Army to infiltrate the hidden Himalayan mountain base of Baron Heinrich von Helsingard. I think I said that right. Before he perfects a super weapon for the Nazis. So, yeah, basically a lot like the first Hellboy movie. It's got that same kind of humor to it. So, yeah. And according to the rating here, it says all ages. So that might be something fun. Seems like they fought an intelligent dinosaur at one point in the story. So that's always fun. Next one on the list, we have one called Bayou, and this is from a Zuda Comics initiative that DC did a while back that is they've now since canceled that for whatever reason. It's written.
This was a Zuda book. Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know
they actually published an actual physical comic of this at one point. I don't know if you can still get it or not. It's written in art by Jeremy Love, and the plot summary, Lee Wagstaff, the daughter of a black sharecropper in Depression-era Mississippi. Oh, that's local. And Bayou, Bayou is a blue-singing swamp monster. Oh, well, that sounds interesting. They trek across a hauntingly familiar southern Neverland, confronting creatures both benign and malevolent in an effort to rescue Lee's father and Lily, Lee's white playmate. And that's rating for that is 12 and up as well.
So how do they do blues music in a comic book? I'm intrigued.
Well, it's not only a blues music, but a blues singing swamp monster. So there's a whole nother edge to that right there. That sounds interesting. I don't know. I've never read that. I don't know why. And see, you talked about Bone already.
I did.
And let's see. This one here is Ex Machina, which is written by Brian K. Vaughan and penciled by Tony Harris, two big names in the industry right now. Heard a lot about this being, you know, they've even done deluxe editions of this series. Basically, the plot says when an accident gives Mitchell 100 amazing power, he becomes America's first living superhero. Eventually, tiring of risking his life, merely to help maintain the status quo, he retires from crime fighting and runs for mayor of New York City, winning by a landslide. And that's when his adventure begins.
Hey, not to interrupt you, that this is not only a good superhero book. I kick myself that I didn't continue reading this, but it's also a good political book. And it would be really easy with a writer, you know, having this kind of platform to push an agenda. You know, like I was saying about, you know, that Ayn Rand comic from earlier.
Right.
But Brian Vaughan, the writer on this, he really shows that. You know, that the decisions that the politicians make have consequences. So he doesn't, you know, sometimes that they have to make decisions that clearly, you know, the writer himself doesn't agree with. He's just like, you know what, this is a politician, and he's going to do what a politician's going to do. And then I think the only time he veers from that is in the writing is the superhero stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you like politics, if you're a political person, and you want to try superhero stuff too, great gateway right here.
Right.
Ex Machina.
Yeah.
And you skipped over one, if you don't mind me saying. You skipped over Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, did I?
Battlestar Galactica number zero. The only sci-fi show that my wife and I both loved at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it started out great, that's for sure. Oh, one quick thing before we talk about that. Also want to mention... Brian K. Vaughan was also one of the writers of the Lost series, so he done a lot of good work with that series, and he's done some other things for TV. I can't think of any of them at the moment, but I've read some of his other stuff. It's pretty good. All right, let's back to you. Battlestar Galactica number zero. The plot summary, the wait is over. The new adventures of the crew of the Battlestar Galactica begin here with Dynamite Entertainment. Writer Greg Pak and artist Nigel Raynor. DE proudly presents this all-new Galactica series, making its debut with a special number zero issue, featuring an original story with a quote-unquote dynamite cliffhanger ending. See what they did there? That leads into the ongoing series. See, Pak is an exclusive writer for Marvel Comics, but has carved out this series for DE, and he's turning out a comic that fans both old and new are going to love. And there's a bunch of other stuff in there that probably spoils the plot. I won't go into it too much more, but go ahead.
One of the things new readers should note is when a comic has a number zero on it, it's a good introduction. I mean, a lot of series start at number one, which is usually the great place to start, but if the series happens to have a zero issue, that's usually like it's specifically designed. Hey, here is a good primer for the series. Check it out. This will give you, the main characters each probably get a couple minutes in the spotlight or a couple panels, pardon me, in this case, in the spotlight, and also give you a reason to pick up the number one issue. Because most comics end with some type of cliffhanger, as Chris noted a moment ago, with the Dynamite cliffhanger. So, if you're looking for an intro and you go into a comic store and you see a number zero sitting on a rack, at least, if it looks like it's going to be interesting, that's a good place to start.
And people that run the shop, I'm sure, most of them are big comic book fans, and they can help you out, kind of decide whether that's going to be something that you want to read.
There's that too.
Yeah.
If you go to a good shop, yes, I'm lucky. Out here in Phoenix, we got Atomic Comics. Not to plug, but they quit. They actually make their employees study.
That's right.
To work there. So
yeah, that's good. That's good. Let's see. We talked about Ex Machina. There's one here on the list called Fear Itself. Now this isn't on the web, so I can't go into too much detail. But that's Marvel's big event that's going on right now. I don't know much about it. I'm not just now getting back into Marvel myself, so I think I got a little link.
It's pretty cool stuff. I cannot believe they're throwing in a number five as a freebie.
Yeah.
This is an incredibly insider story by this point, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this wouldn't be a good issue, but I'm surprised they're making a number five as their freebie.
Well, what I suggest in its place maybe is a book that's which we'll talk about The Walking Dead here in a little bit. I'm sure there's people who have seen The Walking Dead series might have heard of Robert Kirkman. Well, the book I got onto before getting on The Walking Dead is a book called Invincible. Here's a description of that title, and you can get to the number one issue. I think they even put a zero issue out that was in the middle of the series to kind of get you in. But the first issue is free, so you can at least look at that. But anyway, Invincible description is Mark Grayson is a teenage superhero Invincible. And he's a normal high school senior with a normal part-time job and otherwise normal life. Except his father, Nolan, is the superhero Omni-Man, the most powerful superhero on the planet. At age 17, Mark begins to display superpowers, which come from his father being a member of the... Well, I'm not going to tell you that, because that'll spoil it even more for you. But anyway, this is probably the first non-Big Two, meaning DC or Marvel, which we'll talk more about that later. This is put out by Image Comics, and it is one of the coolest comics I've ever read. It makes you think that if you're a superhero fan, it makes you think he's going down a certain path, and you never know what's going to happen in this comic book. And I cannot talk about it more. It's just really awesome. And if you read that first issue, it doesn't kind of catch with you because of the humor of it. Then that's fine. But it is a really good comic. The only thing to think about, this is definitely not for children. It gets a little gruesome as the series goes on. The fights are kind of brutal. A lot of blood and guts. But it is just a very, very well-written comic book, as anybody that's read The Walking Dead will know. And it was, I usually don't like zombies, and the main reason I started reading The Walking Dead was because I just love Robert Kirkman's work so much on this. But anyway, that takes us into the next one, which Caleb talked about a little bit, is the Mouse Guard. And just kind of looking at this, this is kind of like it's kind of got a Lord of the Rings feel to it, kind of like fantasy, but it's with animals. The characters are mice, so it
that's the name.
Yeah, I just read bits and pieces of it, like I said, from the Free Comic Day issues, which that's something else we'll go into later on in the podcast. Definitely something the kids can enjoy. In fact, I've given away a couple of those Free Comic Day issues to kids, and they seem to like it. So.
Yeah, no, we can talk about that in a later cast, yeah. Since it's, almost a year out until the next one, but, I didn't realize Mouse Guard was one of the freebies. I'm going to have to go bug my local store and see if they've got any additional issues.
Yeah, I've got one sitting here from, I think it's from this year, but I'm not sure. Let me look. When was this published? April of 2010, yeah. I ended up with an extra copy of it. It's a flip book from Arcadia, and Jim Henson's Fraggle Rock's on the other side. So, looks like a good one.
I have that one.
Yeah.
Sitting in my living room.
Yeah. That is, just the little bit I've read looks really interesting. I just haven't got into it yet. Let's see, what's next? The next we got Planetary. The plot summary on that. This is kind of I would call it like a conspiracy type book, I think. Just a little bit I know of it. I never did get into the Wallstorm that much, but from what I've heard,
we both suck. We should both be into this book since we claim to be comic book fans, but neither one of us really read it.
Yeah, that I've just heard a lot of good stuff about it, but something about it I just never got into. And I went through a period there where if it wasn't done by DC or Marvel, no matter what it was, I wasn't going to read it. And this is kind of one that I need to read up on. The plot summary says Chiquita Wagner recruits a mysterious 100-year-old man named Elijah Snow to join the Planetary Group, Archaeologists of the Unknown. Their first mission, locate the mysterious Dr. Brass. Sort of superhero-y, the genres that they have listed here on the site is action, adventure, mystery, psychological, supernatural, and superhero. So a lot of people that are comic fans have said a lot of good stuff about this. Something I plan on reading eventually. But
if you're a drummer, there's even a character named Drummer.
Oh, well, there you go. That sounds like fun. Let's see. Next one on the list is Scott Pilgrim Volume 1. And I'm sure everybody saw ads for the Scott Pilgrim movie. Came out, I don't know how long ago that was. Later this, was it this year did it come out or was it last year? I forget.
I think it was last year. I didn't see it.
So. Yeah, I didn't either. I know a lot of people, I believe Matt Kramer from the or better known as Connection Kid from the Legion of Substitute podcasters really likes this. And there's been five volumes of it, and it's sold a lot of copies. The plot summary of this, the free first chapter, it says, Scott Pilgrim's life is totally sweet. He's 23 years old, in a rock band, and quote-unquote between jobs, and dating a cute high school girl. Everything's fantastic until a seriously mind-blowing, dangerously fashionable rollerblading delivery girl named Ramona Flowers starts cruising through his dreams and selling by him at parties. Okay, that sounds like definitely a youngster book to some extent. According to this, the rating here, age is 12 and up. Sounds interesting if you like that kind of thing. I don't think that's
my. It's got a lot of violence in it, and would probably be the rating. Yeah, that would probably be the rating, but it's more manga. It's more manga violence.
I see. That really isn't my particular cup of tea, but hey, you might like that. I know some people that their kids are teenagers, and they really like this kind of stuff. So that's to each his own, I guess you could say. It kind of sounds funny, but it's just not my thing. Let's see. We got one here. It's written by it's a creator-owned series called Vision Machine. I do believe the entire thing is free. Let me find the link to it. Ah, here it is. Yeah, this is written by it's a creator-owned series by Greg Pak. And the description is, in the year 2061, three friends confront the promise and madness of revolutionary change when Sprout Computers releases the most visionary piece of personal technology ever created. The latest sci-fi mindbender from writer and filmmaker Greg Pak, who has done Planet Hulk and Robot Stories. Planet Hulk, that's good stuff. And penciler R.V. Silva, who did Jimmy Olsen. And there's three issues there, all for free to take a look at. Kind of a, maybe looks like a little cyberpunk kind of thing that going on there, so that might be interesting. Let's see, what we got on next on the list? And there's one of my favorites, Walking Dead, number one. If you've seen the TV show, there's a lot of it similar. They don't exactly mesh up. So, I mean, you're going to see similar stuff if you watch the TV show. It's not exactly like it, but the themes are there, and it, you know, it's zombies. Let's just get it out there. Zombies.
This ain't for kids, though.
No.
No question about it.
Yeah, the rating on it is 17 and up. Depends on the 17-year-old, I guess. Probably by the time that they're that age, they've probably seen this in movies. It's probably stuff a lot worse. But I tell you, this is probably one of my favorite books, mostly because, like Invincible, you have absolutely no idea what's going to happen next. Nobody is safe. I'm not saying that lightly. But yeah, it seriously is a great, great book. In fact, I have all I read it in hardcover. I don't get it monthly, so I'm about a year behind. But I have the first six hardcovers. I think seven's coming out here pretty soon, and I read through them every time I get a new one. I start at the beginning and read all through them again. That kind of tells you how much I like this book. If you like horror,
what Chris is talking about is, you know, a lot of these they issue them monthly in a serial format, but most of them have a story arc, mm-hmm. and by which usually runs anywhere between, you know, 5 to, you know, maybe even 10 issues in length.
Yeah.
And there's a good starting point, a good stopping point, and the publishers decide, hey, we're going to go ahead and package these as one book,
mm-hmm.
and market it that way rather than these separate issues. And,
which is, it's a great way for people to get in that have never read them before or trying to get back in. I'm looking at my shelves and I have probably hundreds of different, what they will call trades or hardcover or trade paperback, depending on what it is. In the case of The Walking Dead, they do a year's worth, which is 12 issues per hardcover, and they're oversized, which really helps bring the art out. It's all black and white, but for the tone of the book, it really fits. Like I said, I'm not really big into horror, but I'm hooked on this book. It is just so good, and it's not anywhere close to what I usually read. And like I said, I got into it because of Robert Kirkman and his work on Invincible. So if you're into horror, if you love zombies, even if you don't love zombies, it's really not about the zombies. It's about the people. That's kind of what it is. I think that's what does it. It's a character study. And, you know, it's like Survivor on steroids almost.
Okay.
But that is kind of – that's what my wife and I's probably the only reality show that we actually watch would be that, Survivor. But anyway, this book here I highly recommend. You know, if you don't like this first issue, you know, I'll give you your money back. So.
Ooh, big talk for the free comic.
I was hoping nobody noticed that. But anyway – yeah, I highly recommend this book. I cannot talk enough about it. It's probably it's the only non-superhero comic book I read, I think. I'd have to think hard about that, but I believe this is it. It's great stuff. It really is. Just absolutely gripping.
And so, another Brian K. Vaughan book coming up here next.
Yeah. Now, I've heard a lot about this. Speaking of that, the Ex Machina and this one has been... oh, a little feedback.
You there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm having a lot of static there. Can you hear that?
No, I don't, actually.
Okay, it's just me for some reason. Well, it's not too bad. Well, I'll continue. Anyway, Why Last Man... by Brian K. Vaughan. This is a saga of York Brown, the only human survivor of a planet-wide plague that instantly kills every mammal with a Y chromosome. Accompanied by his pet monkey, York searches for his lost love and answers why he's the last man on Earth. Now, I've heard a lot of good...
This description, the only human survivor.
Whoa, Caleb, you're cutting out on me there.
Okay. How about now?
No, I can barely hear you. Just like you're kind of fading out on me.
Now. Didn't do anything different.
Yeah, I'm getting some move. I'm getting some kind of feedback from something.
I haven't even moved.
Here, hold on. Let me pull you back. I'll knock you out and pull you back in. Hold on.
There he goes.
Okay. Good deal. All right.
What I was gonna say was that this description of saying he's the only human survivor is wrong. He's the only male survivor. And his male monkey.
Yeah.
I as much as you like Walking Dead, this was a book that I love. I actually picked this up at issue one and read all the way through to the end of the series.
Oh, really?
And I have none of the trades, and that's something I need to do someday is buy these trades. But I have all of the original issues of this series. Great story, definitely not for the kids. Basically the same apocalyptic thing that's going on over there in Walking Dead, except the zombies have been replaced with women who are not dead, but they rule the world. So this answers the question: what would you do if you were the last man on Earth with all the women to choose from? And the way that Brian K. Vaughan writes this, it ain't paradise.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm kind of looking through the issue. It does look interesting.
It's really good. Really good stuff.
I'll have to try that.
And it's one of those things where there's the mystery of what happened. And you almost forget why, to ask that question. I'm ranting too much on this one, but it's...
No, that's fine.
This was for a while one of only two non-superhero books that I was reading. Hmm. So that and Fables, but we can talk about that some other time.
Oh, Fables. Yeah, that's a great book. Why isn't that in the list?
It's not free.
Number one isn't free? Oh, well, that's a good point then. Yeah, we can talk about that later. Let's see. What do we got? Is that the last one on the list? Yeah. All right. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. Unless you got something else you want to talk about.
I just want to point out, and there's a lot of different publishers here. These books didn't all come from just DC Comics.
Yeah, we really haven't, really gotten into that.
And DC and Marvel tend to focus on the superhero stuff, but you'll see, this list that Chris, read all the descriptions for those books from, really good introductions for different types of stories. If you're a fantasy fan, there's books here for you. If you're a science fiction fan, there's books there for you. If you're a Battlestar Galactica fan, you can't get more straightforward than, hey, there's a Battlestar Galactica comic book.
So. Yeah, exactly. A lot of TV shows have been made into comics recently, like Fringe. Trying to think of other stuff. There was an X-Files comic. Yeah, DC did a couple of six-issue series of them.
There's even a free one. There's a free one on
Comixology. They got a lot of free comics on there. I got a lot of them, so they are there's some good stuff in there, and I've actually bought stuff. That's the one thing to remember, though, when you do Comixology. You don't really own those comics. You more like rent them. But as long as you have a connection either to the web on your computer or your device, you can read them anytime you want. So it's not like you know, you can't look at them anytime you don't want, you know, you want to, but you kind of keep that in mind.
Now, do you always have to look at them on the same device, or can you, let's say you bought them on your home laptop and you happen to be at a friend's house, could you pull up your account there?
Yeah, it's all synced to your account. Yeah, they had some trouble with that with the app at one point, because you can get a separate DC Comics app that only shows just DC Comics stuff, and when I first used it on the iPhone, it wouldn't sync up with your purchases. So if you bought something on a main app that was DC Comics and you had that other app, it wouldn't recognize that, you know, but they fixed that now, at least on Android. So that's the kind of thing that you can look at.
Oh, good. Good to know. I don't subscribe to this, but certainly as an online choice, there's no question that if you're going to read comics on your computer, which, you know, all the kids are doing, this is probably going to be a main source for purchases of comics. There are other sources out there, but this is a great, as I keep using this word, gateway.
Yep, and that's what DC is, you know, and Marvel does. I haven't talked to them much about this instance because their stuff is only on the iPad stuff. They don't even list anything on Android, at least not right now. So, but yeah, that's kind of a good selection of stuff. And yeah, check some of those out. Let us know what you think. I'll be checking out the ones I haven't read. Even Scott Pilgrim. I don't know. But hey, that's just me. Anyway.
We shouldn't ask someone to try something that we're not willing to try ourselves.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to read through every single one of these on this list and the ones that I haven't read and go from there and see, you know, what else we can recommend. Trying to think. Anything else?
We're not gonna just talk about digital comics either, because I obviously, you know, one of the easiest way for a lot of people, if they have access to a comic book store or even a Barnes and Noble, is go in there and pick up the physical one. So we'll talk about those eventually as well. All these ones that Chris read, you know, they're digital. There are hard copies. There are physical comic books out there as well. And most of them are probably reduced in price. The cover price may be a little daunting on some of them. But I'm sure if you went in there to a comic book store, if you have one, if you're lucky enough to have one near you, they probably got a few of these discounted prices.
Which brings up something. If you ever want to look for a comic shop near you, Diamond Comics, which we'll talk about them later. They have a website called comicshoplocator.com, and you can put your zip code in there. And if the only bad thing about it is the comic shop actually has to list their their shop with the service, and it'll give you, you know, shops that are near you. You know, like I just did mine, and I got one in Winnipeg and one in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Which
Winnipeg?
Yeah. It kind of, if there's no shops near you, it's just like, hey, what about these? So that.
What if you drive to all the way to the other side of the country, across the border?
Yeah. Now, and they actually have for iPhone, they actually have a comic shop locator app that if you know, put your zip code in, and it'll actually can use your location to find out where you're at, and it can map to, you know, the shop and all that stuff through the iPhone stuff. But that's a pretty good site. I use it every once in a while. Plus, like I said, though, there's a comic shop here in town. It's been open about 5 or 6 months, and it's not – they haven't obviously, you know, registered with this, but the actual Comixology, which is with an X, site, has the same kind of thing, and that's how I find out about my local shop. I get an email from them every once in a while telling me about stuff and say, hey, there's a shop open near you. So as soon as I got off work, I just drove down there. So But yeah, we can talk more about that.
This was a lot of fun. I always get jealous when I listen to these other podcasts.
Yeah.
And these guys, they start, you know, comics, like, damn,
yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't get to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So, and some of the things that hopefully we'll get to talk about in the future is, you know, again, specifically the comics that we love, mm-hmm. why we love them, what turns us on about superheroes, and it's not necessarily just the women in their nice bikini costumes. News. I mean, one of the things I've sworn off is reading this news stuff, but it's hard to avoid, even for those of us who don't read it.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm kind of obsessive about reading comic news. I have like three or four sites open and have a refresh thing on them, so they'll refresh. I spend way too much time reading that, try not to make it too heavy on the comic news, because a lot of it's kind of gossip and whatever. But, you know, things that come out we think that you might want to know about, we'll let you know.
We'll review stuff, maybe talk about some of the – it's an incredible time outside of comic books to talk about mm-hmm. comic book-related things. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't freaking go to a movie without seeing a preview of something else that's comic book-related, even
that's
if
right.
you don't know it's comic book-related.
Yep. That's a whole episode in and of itself. Planned for later, you know, comics and the movies. So,
plenty. I mean, if we run out of stuff to talk about, it's only because we're not trying very hard. So, mm-hmm. and really, our focus is going to be why you should be, or why what's going to make it easier for you to check out comics.
That's right.
We're gonna take the thinking out of the process for you.
Yep, that's the plan.
All I got, Dad, tonight, man. I'm spent.
Yeah, me too. So, been about an hour. This is Chris Mosby.
Caleb Gerard.
And signing off. Until next time.
Night.
Night.